Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this last Sunday of the season of Easter, Easter 7. Also, Mother's Day for those on radio, WPHM. We greet you from Our Savior. If you're picking up simulcast or podcast, Port Huron, Michigan. So glad to have you with us in our worship this day. In preparation for Mother's Day, I never did this before. I thought I'd go through scripture, and since I don't have a children's sermon at early service, unless some of you want to play small kids, and I'll put you up here. I'm going to be talking with the kids about three mothers in the scripture. Two are Old Testament, one's New Testament. One is a woman called Hannah. She's Old Testament. Anybody know who Hannah was? She was a mother of, obviously, Samuel. Samuel was one of the last judges of Israel. She had prayed, give her husband a child to make him happy, but the Lord had closed up her womb, so she was barren, as the scriptures say. So she prayed to the Lord that she would have a child. The Lord would give her a child, she would dedicate that child to God and the service of God. Next year, she got pregnant. She gave her child back to Eli at the temple, and he would be raised in the temple to serve God throughout his life. Samuel became one of the greater ones of the judges of old Israel, okay? Hannah was a woman humbled, and her prayer statement after the birth announcement that she would have a child, if you put that next to the text of Mary's Magnificat, you will see similar themes that the Blessed Virgin will speak about God blessing her. Now, the second woman of the Old Testament, second mother I want to raise to you, I think it's interesting because if you open up your Bible to Exodus 2 and 3 about the birth of Moses, what was Moses' mother's name? Denise, we're talking about mothers, okay, out of scripture. So what was the mother's name of Moses? What? Nope. She had no name recorded. How's that? The order was given by Pharaoh that any Hebrew child born male would be killed. So a woman gave birth, and she kept her child for 3 months at home, and she said, I can't hide him any longer. Doesn't give her name, and her plan was to set him into the water, right? Pharaoh's daughter would receive him. She would send her daughter, Miriam, sister of Moses, over to the other side to take care of the baby for the Egyptians. So, how's that for a mother who gave a significant sacrifice of her child to preserve his life, and even her name's not mentioned in the Bible? How's that? Third mother, obviously, is the Blessed Virgin Mary. When she was told as a young teenager, we suspect her age to be, because in the ancient world, you didn't live long, and you were given to betrothed and marriage so you could have kids and raise them, okay? So probably in her young teens, middle teens, Mary was presented by an angel, and she was a woman of faith enough to believe that the Holy Spirit could come upon her as promised, and she would conceive a child. And when Joseph, who was in the out wings, soon to marry her, he would also be visited, but Mary is the principal player because she carried the baby Jesus, the Savior of the world. So this Mother's Day, women have played an important part in terms of major people, Samuel, Moses, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Women have a significant role in the raising, nurturing, and maturing of young people in the faith. But I'm going to come back on Father's Day and talk about father's responsibilities. Because many times I see men not stepping up to the plate. And I think we have to address it by God's word. Okay, so this Mother's Day, remember significant people. Hannah, a no-name mother of Moses, and then the Blessed Virgin Mary. So those are the mothers. Through the prayers, I want to kind of highlight some things for you. Some things I'm not going to say because we're on radio too much, except to say we got the phone call followed up with talking with Jim Wendt. His wife, Ruth Wendt, of this congregation before they moved to Tennessee, has passed away unexpectedly in her house, in her bed. It was totally unexpected, no health history. She went into the bed, did not want supper. When Jim came to visit her again, she was gone. So no suffering, no awareness that it was happening. So there will be a service down there when I talk to him Saturday again at his church, where they go to a Methodist church because there's no Lutheran churches down in the Bible Belt. So they have a service there this Wednesday. Cremation will be taking place this week. Then he'll come up in the first week or two of June, he'll let me know. And we'll do a memorial service here at Our Savior. And then he'll determine where interment will be, because you can imagine he's in a whirlwind. Because there was no advanced preparation, no signs that this was happening. So remember Jim in the prayers, he'll be in the prayer list. Another one of our members, Ed O'Connor, my neighbor and member here for a couple years. He had gone in the hospital 2 days ago, 3 o'clock in the morning, having trouble breathing. So remember Ed and his wife, Bev, in your prayers as well. The family of Donna Martin, I did the memorial service yesterday. So that took place at Woodland Cemetery, following up with meal here at Our Savior. So Jim Martin's most likely listening to this broadcast, because, well, as he described to me again yesterday, Donna would say, "Now, Jim, you get that radio on. I want you to have that on when the radio broadcast begins. I don't want to miss anything." So, Jim, we send you greetings from your church here at Our Savior. Many other things and people always before us in our prayers. We'll talk about those later, okay? We begin this Easter service with the affirmation of our baptism, as we have done, because it's in baptism that we were named and claimed as God's people. Please rise. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And just as God's work of creation never ends, so the gifts received in baptism are renewed every day. Let us give thanks together for the life given in baptism. We do give you thanks, O God, for the waters of life, for the very water that we bathe in, the water we drink, for waters that we play in, waters that inspire wonder, for water that gives life to our planet. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of life. And we give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place, for water from the tap, for the rain that falls around us, for the local sources of Lake Huron, St. Clair River, Black River, and all the streams around us. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place. We give you thanks for your salvation through water, for delivering Noah and his family through the floodwaters, for leading your people Israel through the sea into freedom, for preserving your prophet Elijah through the time of drought, for guiding your people across the Jordan into a new land, for quenching the Samaritan woman's thirst for living water. We give you thanks for your salvation through water. We give you thanks for the life of all the baptized, for all who gather here, for godparents, baptismal sponsors, for children, for grandchildren, for our brothers and our sisters in Christ, whom we have never seen, but to whom we are bound. We give you thanks for the life of all the baptized. And we give you thanks for life in Christ through your Holy Spirit, for our entry into Jesus' death through these waters, for our new birth into a life of freedom and for service, for our calling to be your people, sent out for the life of the world. We give you thanks, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Entrance hymn, Son of God, Eternal Savior, we sing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We sing as our hymn of praise, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, verses 1, 5, and 6.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing,
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray, and we pray together. Gracious and glorious God, you have chosen us as your own, and by the powerful name of Christ, you protect us from evil. By your Spirit, transform us and your beloved world, that we may find our joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'll kindly be seated, first reading this day by Kathy Cole. Following the first reading, and before the psalm, we'll have a special message from Jane from our church council.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading today comes from the book of Acts 1, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 26. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kathy. And Jane, if you'd please come forward, sure.
Good morning.
Good morning.
At the council meeting, I spoke and said that I would have no problem coming forth to the congregation and letting everyone know that we would like to enhance our fellowship here among both services so that we as the congregation of our Savior can come to know one another, fellowship, and bring us more as a more cohesive congregation. And without really knowing, not everyone is aware of what goes on in the congregation, and this would be an opportunity for us to get together, get to know one another, and maybe with our minds entwined, we can come up with suggestions to enhance our fellowship here. So beginning on June 3rd, our coffee hour will begin at 9:45 and between the services, and we just are hopeful and that everyone will make an effort to join this coffee hour so that we can just get to know one another better, and we'll just hopefully get to know people that we may have seen but never spoke with or talked to and got to know them. So beginning June 3rd, coffee hour will be at 9:45, so we hope that everyone will be able to attend. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
You're welcome.
Kind of as an add-on to what she said, inevitably over 25 years, people say, "Well, I don't know so-and-so. Were they in church?" And not knowing the names of people and, you know, what's the best way to still provide two services to give people choices, but to build up our knowledge and fellowship. We hope this will be the bridge. So it requires on us at 8:30 to stay longer. For those who attend 11, they have to stretch themselves to come earlier to make this attempt, hopefully, build us up as a congregation, knowing one another, working together as well. Psalm of the day, Psalm 1. We read it responsively. The antiphon is, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of the sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, and they are like trees that are planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. It is not so with the wicked. They're like the chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when the judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed. The Lord knows the way of the righteous." We have our second reading by Marcia.
God has borne witness to the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in the Son of God believes in the witness of God and has the promise of eternal life. The second reading comes from the first book of John, chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the word of God, the word of life.
The gospel reading of the day is from John's Gospel, 17th chapter, beginning with verse 6. If you'll please rise, we speak the gospel acclamation. Hallelujah! I will not leave you orphans, says the Lord. I am coming to you. Hallelujah! So from John 17, beginning with verse 6. Glory to you, O Lord. So this is the prayer of Jesus. It's considered the high priestly prayer. If you do Bible study, this is the prayer. Jesus prayed. I have made your name known to those you gave me from the world, Lord. They were yours. You gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them. And in truth, that I came from you. They have believed. You have sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world. I'm asking on behalf of those you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I've been glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them. Not one of them was lost except the one who was destined to be lost, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled.
But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may know my joy, and it may be complete in themselves. I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. So I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but I'm asking you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to this world, just as I do not belong to this world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they may be sanctified in truth. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. For those on radio, WPHM, or subsequent electronic forms, you may receive this message or worship service. God's grace to you as well, our invisible congregation. We understand through God's word and throughout these weeks, I bet you, did it catch on your radar screen this last Thursday? Did anything on your calendar say Ascension Thursday? Okay, some of you have that. Ascension Thursday came 40 days as Christ walked this earth. And like I said at the service yesterday for Donna, you know, some people think that Easter was over when the Easter bunnies, the baskets, and the candy was consumed. Easter goes well beyond that for the days that Jesus walked this earth. In the calendar of the church, we honor that by acknowledging these Sundays of Easter. And Ascension Thursday took place this week. That is the window in the narthex. If you ever you want to take a ride, take a quick look. It looks better in the bright sunlight when the blue hues come shining through the narthex. And you see the Lord Jesus levitating upon the rock above it. The disciples watching around him as he leaves us. And he says, but I'll be back. And that's the key word. They had to replace the absentee one, Judas, as the scripture says, after he did his dastardly deed, he went out and hung himself, and grief, remorse, whatever moved him. And that became the founding of what we call Potter's Field, which many cities in that use as an interment place for unnamed people, Potter's Field. But its historical grounding goes back to Judas. And in the context of things, they had to do something if they wanted 12. Now, I was asked 2 weeks ago, somebody said, why did they need 12? Why didn't they just go with the 11? Oh, let me take you back to the Old Testament. If you don't know the Old Testament, you won't get the full understanding of the New Testament. The Old Testament had 12 tribes, 12 sons. They were always in 12s to mark the kingdom of God. Even when they went into the promised land, the tribes, when they subdivided, they still have 12 sectors for the land and the community to live in. 12 was the symbolic number, whole and complete, of God's people. In the book of Revelation, you will see that 12 is a significant number of the number who will be saved, 144,000. That's an extraction of the number 12. 12 times 12 times 1,000. You know, that's how we get those things. It's in that number that Jesus wanted to keep, and the disciples honoring Jesus, the number 12. They needed a team. So we know in the second reading, Matthias is chosen to be the replacement, the first reading. And it was always kind of a cute way. So let's go to the scriptures. Because the theme today is, this is really our destiny. It's the fulfilling of the Great Commission. On the ascension, the Lord left. I don't know how it is when parents leave the household, the kids tend to have a run full rein. and do anything they please, but not so with the children of God. We are to follow what Christ has started. We are to continue the mission, continue the Great Commission, under which are the orders of all the baptized, not just the clergy. And we are called to bear witness to Christ, to baptize, to teach, to reach out to a world, not just Israel, not just Jerusalem, but to all nations, all types of people, with the good news of Jesus Christ and God's love for his creation in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the orders of every baptized person. And every baptized person has been ordained in the waters of your baptism. My ordination came later as a subsequent ordination, but all the baptized have been ordained to ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. First reading, the book of Acts, prior to the day of Pentecost, which is where we are. Because on Pentecost Day, which is next Sunday, the Holy Spirit comes. And that's the reason we've asked you to bring the red for symbolizing the fire. That's the reason why we're doing our dedication of our offerings for the ark. To say that collectively, as they spoke in tongues, in languages that everybody understood, not divided them, as was the Tower of Babel, but united them to be the birthday of Jesus Christ's people, the church. Okay. So we in our downtown churches will gather our subsequent faith communities of differing flavors, as I like to call us, and proclaim the oneness that we have in Jesus Christ by the grace of God to be God's people in this world together. And that's important. And it's hard to change history. I get it. We get denominationally kind of rigid and respectful. I get it too. But I also understand that if we put our blinders up, we miss opportunities that God may put before us to work together. And so when that idea of the ark and world hunger came about, it was like, wow. Jason from First Presbyterian was the one who suggested it back in November last year. And now it's come to fruition. For your information, our Savior has raised over 2,100, almost 2,200, right, Marcia? How's that? We've never done that for world hunger and love loaves in our history. And I would hope that the other participating congregations will also have extraordinary offerings, both to help the people, but as a sign to ourselves and to the world, we can work together to the glory of God. Okay. So next Sunday, day of Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, the diversity and unity of the church, we celebrate. Matthias, I always like to talk about how he was chosen. If people don't read their Bible, I like to pull their leg. I said, do you realize gambling was almost accepted in the old church? People look at it like, what? You realize how Matthias was chosen? There wasn't a nominating committee. He did not submit his candidacy or his credentials, as Lutherans like to do for elections. He did not, nor did his competitor. We don't even know if they gave approval. I assume they did, but you know. Sometimes people like to railroad other people and just put their name in without them knowing it. I assume they both knew they were candidates. And what an honor and responsibility it would be because, you know, if you follow Jesus, you might actually die physically. I could see a lot of people in today's church, not just Lutherans today, just the Christendom, they'll probably say, well, then I don't want to be on the candidates. I don't want to be on the list. Take my name off the list. If that's the consequence or risk I take to serve Christ. But in fact, they put their names and let their names be chosen. It wasn't by ballot. They shook dice. And then when the lot fell towards Matthias. Ah, God's Holy Spirit spoke. I don't know how you want to interpret that passage. I think they had a wonderfully loose spirit about how God's Holy Spirit works. I think they understood that God speaks in many and diverse ways to speak God's will to God's people, if the people would just listen. Most of the time we say, well, that doesn't make sense. You shouldn't do that. Should we be based upon credentials, seniority, you know, all those human kind of things? You know, who is the original? Ah, come on. Let the Spirit choose. And they did. And they went with Matthias. And he would be the one who would join the team to proclaim Christ to a world still virgin to hear anything about God's love. Because everybody understood if there was a God, he wasn't a God who loved. But this God that we know in Jesus Christ, his very heart and center is love. So the second reading. As John goes on, and we've been following his letter through the Easter season, he says that there is a great testimony. Now, we humans, like Matthias and other disciples and others who bear the name of Jesus Christ, we can go on our word, but you know, some people say, well, who are you? What are your credentials? And John says, our testimony is a testimony that comes from God. He trumps everybody else's. I'm a debater by nature. I did it professionally, so to speak, in high school and college. I traveled this nation, and I can argue any point forward, pro and con. I know how to do it. But in the context of life, when I hear people criticize Christians, criticize the gospel, I love to engage them in conversation, if not debate. If that's what they want, I can do it. And talk about the validity of our claims. But it's not based upon Don's word. It's based upon God's word. So if you don't accept God's word as an authority, then let's get to the root of that. Why don't you? Let's start decompressing this one and see what's your issue. Is your issue that you alone in the whole universe know what is truth? Do you really sense you alone out of the whole created order have the only sense of what is true and false? How arrogant and narcissistic is that? But in fact, there are many ways, many theories, many positions out there. There have been many people who have presented gods. But when this Jesus entered our time and our space, he didn't come as one of us, though he came as one of us. He didn't come through normal birth channels, a birth father, but he did come through a birth mother, Mary. So the virgin birth is important to us to hold on to because he was born without sin. You and I have been born in sin, so we could not remedy for ourselves, let alone the people we love, let alone the universe, for our transgressions. Okay? Had to take an external intervention. And that is what God in Jesus Christ did at the Nativity. Throughout his life, he was a teacher. He showed us what was right. He told us how to do it. And we screwed it up all the time. When he said, it's really simple, people. Here's what it is, what he said to the rich ruler. All you have to do to receive eternal life, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and spirit. And the man, kind of arrogant, says, oh, I'm doing that. Jesus says, well, you got to also love your neighbor as yourself. Oh. And being a smart and intelligent man, he says, well, but who's my neighbor? Oh, don't do that to Jesus. He's going to drive a truck right through your belly. Look around you. That's your neighbor. Martin Luther, in his Christmas sermons, would say to his congregation, I think he would have lost his letter of call if they could have taken it away from him. He says, oh, you who sit in these pews, well, actually stood, you who are here in the worship service, you say, oh, we would have taken in the baby Jesus if we just known he was looking for a house to be born in. Oh, you have the homeless among you. What are you doing for them? Do you not understand that Christ is in the stranger? Christ is in the person you have discounted, devalued, walked by, and treated as if they did not exist. With that, it irritated a church council. Do you not understand? Christ is here. And he asks you to take care of the least of these to demonstrate your love for him. Throughout these Easter Sundays, John has been telling us in the epistle, you can't love God unless you love your neighbor. How can you say you love the divine and you have never seen him? Your neighbor is here and you don't care for them. You can't do it, John says. Your neighbor is where you begin. God is in the neighbor. And it's in that whole context that John and the gospel of Christ makes sense. That's the reason why the apostles and Christ could be with the sinners, the tax collectors, the harlots. You know, I can imagine if the media got a hold of Jesus' public ministry, they would have chewed him alive. Oh, there he is again. He's with that prostitute. Oh, he must be one of them. How about he's with those sinners? Oh, he must feel comfortable with them. He must be a sinner. He who knew no sin became our sin. It's like epoxy, it was sticking to him wherever he went. And he lived a life that demonstrated to people that this is what God is about. Remember how Jesus said, when he was being criticized so often, he says, I didn't come to heal those who think they don't need me or need God. I have come to heal those and to reach to those who have been left out by everybody else. So look around you. Who are the left out ones? The ones that people walk by and churches kind of say, well, that's their choice. That's their lot. Maybe even God predestined it. How's that one? It's like, oh, God, forgive us all. The blood is on our hands. We understand that the early church in its ministry, it held all things in common to disperse according to all who had need. Now, we as Americans and capitalists, we may not like that system. Scripturally, it didn't work because of human sin, Ananias and Sapphira, those two characters. But the Spirit was there to care for one another and to reach out and treat each other with acts of love, words of kindness, deeds of grace, and to show in an unconditional way with this hard-nosed, evil, rejecting world is so false of what God's like. To be able to be the kind spot, you know how they have a hot spot for cellular devices and all those kind of things. You go into a store, you can turn on your cellular device or your pad. It's the hot spot, we call it. Yeah. You know, it'd be nice if the Christian church was known as the gray spot. People would come to all of our places of worship and say, hey, I'm glad to be part of them. Because I know there is grace. I know there is not judgmentalism. I know there is the abiding presence of Jesus Christ. I'm a realist. I chose in my academic training to get a business major. And I chose a political science major. I knew that would get me ready for being a minister. both of those secular arenas. I too have to walk on both sides, reality, but also God's word. And I want to balance both in my life, and I know that God will see us through. And I know that God has a plan for all of us individually and collectively to be his people. But it's only not on our terms. You got to get this straight. It's on God's terms. And that's where we have to leave self behind. So when Jesus is speaking in the gospel lesson, Father, I pray that they will be one, not divided, not schismatic. This passage was used when we talked about merging to become the ELCA. It's used at times of church mergers. Struggling, what does it mean to be one? Do we have to be organically one denomination for the United States of all the different flavors? Most of us would say no. Just respect each other. Work in tandem. Share ideas and honor the fact that we are different. But honor the fact that we are one because Christ said we were one. Just as much when we take communion and Christ says, as you look at a little wafer or a piece of bread, and he says, this is my body. Or you take that chalice or the little cup of wine or juice and you say, he said, this is my blood. And you look at it and say, doesn't pass the test. Yes, it does. Why? Luther says, because Christ said it. The church is one. God declared it. It's time for the church to catch up to God, to get it right. For when we work together, we are one. When we don't put the differences ahead of our commonality and our mission to reach this world, we will be one. May during these weeks of Easter not just be boring weeks and same old about Jesus. It really isn't. It's leading us to Pentecost and a launch to live as God's people. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. And our service continues with our hymn of praise.
Thank you.
Our service continues as Jane leads us in our prayers. If you'll please rise.
Let us pray. Rejoicing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the witness of the church, the wholeness of creation, and all who are in need. End divisions within your church, O God. Open us to receive your testimony. Make us one as you are one. Make our joy complete. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Nourish the soil of your earth, Holy God. Bless the trees planted by the water, and bless the seeds planted by birds and by our hands. Bring forth fruit in due season. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for warring nations, political refugees, and peacekeepers. Wash away the fear and hatred that tear us apart. Let justice roll down like a mighty stream. Quench our thirst for peace in every land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who are homeless, naked, hungry, imprisoned, abandoned, or sick. Today we remember in our prayers Iris Cook, Jerry Willer, Bev and Ed O'Connor, Larry Pewter, Mary Balderson, Jeff Parker, Daniel Baisley, Jim Borntrager, Phyllis Akers, Leanne Fortuzniak, and we especially pray today for the family of Ruth Wendt and her unexpected passing this week. We also pray for the family of Donna Martin as they celebrated her memorial service yesterday. Send us to shelter, clothe, feed, and visit those in need. Make us your healing and compassionate presence in the world. And Lord, we also ask that you would remember those serving our nation, yes. Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, and Rob Nolan, and all those returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning into our communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for mothers we love, and mothers we struggle to love, for adoptive mothers, stepmothers, and foster mothers, for those who long to be mothers, for everyone who has mothered us in faith. Give rest, healing, wisdom, and strength, mothering God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You give us eternal life in your Son. When doubts and fears arise, give us peace in the resurrection promise. Sanctify us in your truth and unite us with all the saints. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We entrust all of our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue in prayer as we sing this day the Lord's Prayer.
This day our daily bread.
Please be seated. We receive our gifts for the work of God's kingdom. If we're still on the radio, let me throw this announcement in real quick. You will probably have seen in the e-letter and bulletin the last 2 weeks that Habitat for Humanity is building two homes, a third home in the fall, in our neighborhood on Howard Street, I guess you would say south of Pollock Randall. They're going to need help on food, meals for laborers. They're going to need laborers, skilled, unskilled laborers. They're going to need all kinds of support and some additional monies, but they're going to renovate this community and put people who own land here instead of renters and start to make a difference by planting homes here. We will be asked as part of the downtown churches and the whole community of Old Town to rally to make this reality. The third house will start in the fall as their plan and be worked on during the winter time. As far as future homes, not sure any special dates or times or locations. The city gifted this land to Habitat so it can be redeveloped into habitable housing. So we need to support that. Okay, that's enough. Are we off the radio now, Doug? Oh, okay. Well, glad to have it. What else did I need to say? When the service is done, there are flowers there for the mothers. The deacons will pass them out to you. At the second service, the youth are going to pass them out to the women. So today you get the deacons to pass them out to you, okay? And we do want to honor all the women and all the mothers of this congregation. Many things in your bulletin, please read, respond to them. Would flag for you, Jeff Parker is going to have serious back surgery on Tuesday. Remember him in your prayers. Mary Boulderston of this congregation, she has fought valiantly many cancers. She is in the throes of taking more chemo. She also had a fracture in her ankle last year in 17. Now another surgery, and she is recovering from the infection and that. So remember the people in this congregation in your prayers as well. Our service continues then as the offering is presented. We sing, "Here I Am, Lord," verses 1 and 3.
Worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.